Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Pick and Roll Podcast. Today I got a good one for you guys. And yes, I did not release a podcast last week. I was sick for like over half last week, so I just wasn't able to physically do it. So I'm gonna go ahead and release this one and go back to the normal weekly release on Thursday at noon, like you guys have been used to. But again, last week I just wasn't able to post because I was sick. But I'll go ahead and give you guys an intro of what we're going to be talking about today. All right, so the games that are going to be broken down are USC versus Colorado. In that game, we got Isaiah Collier, Bronny James, Cody Williams, Tristan Da Silva. Those are guys that are definitely going to be people talking about in the NBA draft. Then I watch Kansas versus Iowa State. Johnny Fernfee is somebody that's been moving up draft boards really fast. Got to watch him play. Kevin McCullough, Hunter Dickinson, and from Iowa State, Milan Mamovic. Tough last name. He's European. And really interesting guy. Got a smooth shot creation game. Curious to see if he could be an NBA draft pick. Then I got UConn versus Providence. UConn's got Stephon Castle, Donovan Klingon. And then Providence has Devin Carter, who is somebody that's been moving up draft boards, is on most mock drafts now. Then I got Duke versus Miami. So we got Tyrese Proctor, Jared McCain, Kyle Filipowski. For Miami, we got Wuga Popular, Matthew Cleveland, and Keyshawn Johnson. Really interesting game. Those are really four games that we're going to go ahead and break down. It's going to be a really great podcast. I got a lot of really good content for you guys. So we're going to go ahead and kick it to the USC game. So USC's big name player is Isaiah Collier. 6'4" point guard. Throughout the season, he's averaging 16.3 points per game, 4.2 assists, 48% field goal percentage, and 30% three-point percentage. So when we talk about Isaiah Collier, man, I'm happy that we get to watch him in a full game because he has been hurt. I was sick. He was hurt. So it's one of the first few games that he was coming back from being hurt. You know, Isaiah Collier still has the really interesting things where he's really strong, really quick, really fast. He's a good vertical athlete, but he's a better quick and speed athlete than he is a vertically gifted. And when you talk about him, elite finishing at the rim, the 48% field goal percentage is definitely speaks to how just insane he is finishing at the rim. He's so strong. He's so tall for the point guard position. He's so good at just jumping into centers and power forwards' bodies and finishing through them and finishing at the rim. And he is highly efficient, and he gets to the free throw line. He's definitely somebody that can definitely get to the free throw line on a consistent basis. And it's not a gimmicky way of getting to the free throw line either. He earns those free throw attempts through physical play. He's definitely somebody that showed some three-point shot creation this game, which was interesting to see. Definitely very interesting. And then in this game as well, he also continues to show amazing passing ability. I mean, this guy's passing gifts in his hands is absolutely insane. It's genuinely special. What I mean by passing gifts in his hands is his ability to hit right-hand passes, left-hand passes, throw them out of the line to a shooter in the corner, and give it to the big on a lob threat, and, you know, just be so phenomenal. He has gifts in his hands on how fast, accurate, and tough passes that he can make that most of the human being population just cannot do. And most of the NBA cannot make some of the passes that he can make. It's just that truly special. And he's definitely somebody that's a good defender. He is extremely high upside defensively, and he's on ball defensively really good because stronger players are better defenders. He has a similar body build to Drew Holiday, and, you know, that's a great compliment because Drew Holiday is one heck of a defender. So, you know, you put a lot of really elite things together, and you get somebody that can be an extremely elite rim attacker in the NBA and hit those passing and the shooters on the perimeter. Yeah, I mean, there are some few things that are negatives about him. He does cause a decent amount of turnovers, and you know, people do also complain about his ability. He plays too fast at times. They want him to change speeds better, and his 3-point percentage is 30% 3-point percentage. But somebody that I think those critiques are stupid. I think those critiques are genuinely stupid, because we all have to sit back and relax and realize the dude's 18, right? He's 18 or 19. It's really, these guys are not supposed to be finished products. And there are things that you grow into with age as NBA point guards that grows with time naturally. And there's things that are not. Look at Russell Westbrook. Now, he's not Russell Westbrook, but at the beginning of Russell Westbrook's career, he was a terrible, he had passing gifts like Isaiah Collier, but a high turnover player. I mean, he used to be in it. When Russell Westbrook was younger, he was a high turnover basketball player. Okay, it was a real issue, right? And, you know, with time, Russell Westbrook, now he is one of the top 5, top 10 best passers in the NBA because he mentally grew with time, right? Because these guys are going to get NBA level coaching, and they're going to get taught about passing lanes and how to, you know, learn with time and situation and learning just the reps. This is something that grows with time naturally. This should not be some awe-inspiring, so hard thing to understand. People grow more intelligent in the game of basketball as they get older, and they learn how to make better decisions, right? And the turnover issue is such an easily fixed thing with just time. Just be patient, right? And the 30% three-point percentage, I don't think it matters as much, nor does the ability to change speeds and change speeds, because I have a great statistical comparison, which is De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is very similar to Isaiah Collier, where their quick and fast gifts are very similar. De'Aaron Fox in college shot 24% from the three-point line. Okay? And De'Aaron Fox, who is he? De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is an all-star. De'Aaron Fox is absolutely amazing player, but even in the beginning of his career, he had really good seasons. His rookie year, he averaged 11-4. Year two, he's averaging 17-7, right? Like, it really did not. And year four, he's averaging 21-7, right? Like, year three, he's shooting 29% from the three-point line. Okay, so how can somebody be not good at three-point shooting in the NBA, even though he grows with time? Because right now he's shooting 37% from the three-point line. De'Aaron Fox's three-point shot has grown with time, genuinely. He's gotten better at it. Okay, so but how can a poor three-point shooting point guard exist? Well, you got to have a few special traits. You got to be special speed and quickness-wise, and you got to be special athletically to get downhill, right? Where even if people play a little off you and like try to force you into shooting a three-point shot, it doesn't really matter because you're just so athletically gifted that it just doesn't matter. And you got to have elite passing gifts, so you got to be so ridiculously valuable that you can hit your shooters on the perimeter with their three-point shots and lead to really great easy looks for the center position, the pick and roll. Well, Isaiah Collier checks every single thing that made De'Aaron Fox work in the NBA early in his career off the list. Every single thing. Except he's taller, stronger, and better three-point shooter, because he shoots 30% from the three-point line coming out of college, and De'Aaron Fox shot 24%. I'm absolutely amazed. And also the change of speeds thing. Yeah, De'Aaron Fox, when he came out of Kentucky, didn't master changing speeds. And honestly, I don't think he mastered changing speeds until last year, which is 6th year in his NBA career. I don't feel like he really mastered that until year 6. But when you're drafting somebody 19, year 6 is 25. Like, that's not even somebody's prime. De'Aaron Fox isn't technically in the prime of most NBA players, is like 27 to 32, right? Like, this is, and the reason why is because when you're such a freak athlete, it takes more training and development and more focus over time to stop your freak athlete self on a dime like that and to make you change speeds like that. Like Luka Doncic, for example, can change speed so easily because he's so slow. He doesn't have as much momentum to stop. It's simple science, right? And guys like Isaiah Collier, De'Aaron Fox, Russell Westbrook, those guys that are Ja Morant, those guys that are freak athletes, it takes time for them to learn how to change speeds because they're wired differently with all the athletic gifts. But it's going to be a natural thing that he is going to learn with time. Right. So all of these overly negative sentiments are either people are completely missing on him because people have him in the like 14th or 16th draft pick. I have him graded as a number two draft pick because I see a lot of De'Aaron Fox there. Right. And I'm just absolutely amazed by it. It's either people are over criticizing him and don't understand what's going to grow with time naturally. That happens with every single point guard in the history of NBA, or people are moving down his draft stock so that people that may have the 4th, 5th, 6th pick might have a better shot of drafting him because of all the negative news that's coming out about him. It's so funny because Scoot Henderson last year coming out of the G League shot 27% from the 3-point line. I scouted him. He was a more intelligent passer than Isaiah Collier, but Isaiah Collier is a more gifted passer with his passing gifts and the ability to hit tough passes and, you know, straight line passes and speed on those passes. He had more athletic gifts, but Scoot Henderson wasn't amazing at changing speeds. Scoot Henderson was a really good athlete, right? Finishing at the rim, physical body, great body frame. Like, he was the number two pick because of all those things. Isaiah Collier is very similar to Scoot Henderson. And honestly, I have Isaiah Collier. If you made me make all-time point guards scouted, I would have Isaiah Collier as the second best point guard I've ever scouted since Cade Cuddy. And I'd have him above Scoot Henderson because he's taller and he has a better passing gifts. He's a better three-point shooter coming out of college. He's a better defender coming out of college. And his defensive ceiling is much higher than Scoot because of the body frame and the height. Like, even though Scoot might be a better vertical athlete, he wasn't as fast and quick as Isaiah Collier. So, you know, it's ridiculously close. I both had him both great as a 2 through 3 draft pick, right? But I'm amazed that for some reason, Scoot was number two, and it was no question throughout all the draft process. We get an extremely similar player in Isaiah Collier, and we're just like, what? He's not a number 2 through 3. I just don't understand what everybody's looking at. I just disagree with them. If he does go that low, I guess I'll just disagree until we get to see him play in the NBA. Because this guy is elite. It's either over-criticized, or you just don't understand how people grow throughout time, or it's all a front to try to drop his draft stock and so that a team could try to target him that may not have 1, 2, or 3 draft pick in this draft. It's just amazing to me. 48% field goal percentage also coming out of college is great. Like, man, Isaiah Collier, he's got gifts coming out of every, you know, and I still have him as the number two ranked guy in my big board. And the difference between him and Alex Saar, who's the number one ranked guy in my big board, it's about as thin as a piece of paper. I could wake up one morning and be like, yeah, Isaiah Collier is the better player. And then I could wake up the next day and be like, yeah, Alex Saar is the better player. They're so ridiculously close. They are so close on my grades. They both have the same exact grade 2 through 3 draft pick. So he could be the number one guy. It's just that good. He's that special. And I'm not moving off of him just because other people are, I don't know what other people are watching. Alrighty, now that we got that done with, go ahead and talk about Bronny James real quick. Bronny James is a 6'4" shooting guard for USC, averaging 5.3 points per game, 37% field goal percentage, 27% three-point percentage, 62% free throws percentage. So Bronny James is, I don't know how to put this, a disappointment. He's a disappointment in the sense where since we've watched Isaiah Collier so much, I've watched a lot of games, and there will be a 1% of the time where he drives to the rim or runs a pick and roll, and you see him explode to the rim and be super athletic and do very gifted things at the rim with his body control at the rim. And he's just such a strong frame, good athlete, very good on a ball defender, right? And Bronny James has a lot of gifts, but for some reason, he's too team first. And what I mean by that is he's not turning on the, because his game okay, the best way to explain this is he is not an off-ball player. So he has a 37% field goal percentage, 27% three-point percentage. That is, those are terrible splits for somebody that's going to be a catch-and-shoot guy and maybe attack closeouts and be a two-guard, a 3-D two-guard. That does not his game at all. But if he puts the ball in his hands and he tries to get 15 points, he would do it very efficiently. And if he did it mostly by driving to the rim, he'd do it very efficiently. It'd be easy first-round draft pick. But for whatever reason, whenever the ball's in his hands, he's way too passive. People compliment him way too much on being a team guy. He needs to be less passive with the ball in his hands. The 37% field goal percentage on top of the passiveness of the way he's playing right now mentally, I don't think he's an NBA draft prospect. There's a huge cutoff line for shooting guards as well for the 40% field goal percentage, where anything below 40% historically has never been a starting level shooting guard in the past 10 years. So you put all those things together, it's just not an NBA draft prospect ready. If, you know, even though I highly doubt just listening to this draft, this podcast, if I was advising him, I'd tell him to go back to college, gain confidence, because if he turns on the switch next year, dude could be a top five pick. That's how crazy elite his gifts are. He just got to use them, especially offensively. He's obviously a good defender, but offensively, he needs to attack the rim no more and be less passive. All right, that's it for USC. Let's go ahead and kick it to Colorado. Colorado has Cody Williams and Tristan Da Silva. Let's go ahead and talk about Cody Williams for a 6'8", averaging 13.7 points per game, 1.8 assists, 59% field goal percentage, 70% free throw percentage, and 45% three-point percentage. So just like always, Cody Williams is able to do a few things very well. Standstill three-point shooting. That 45% three-point shot, again, is not a high-volume three-point shooter. He does basically only catch-and-shoot three-point shots. He's extremely elite driving to the rim. He has point-forward level passing. He's a very good passer. Defensively, he's good. He's a little thinner, but he'll grow into his size as he ages. So I don't think it's a long-term issue, but if you expect him to guard LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard year one and be really good at it, it's just unreasonable. You know, it's good long wingspan for the 6'8 length. It moves well, smooth, athletic. And honestly, I moved him a little bit up in my draft board. I used to have him 6-8 draft pick grade, and I moved him to 3-5 because he had a few moments in this game, man, where he was driving downhill and looked so great, and had one interesting shot creation near the rim where it was kind of like a Euro step into a really tough finish. And, you know, obviously, when we talk about NBA, the ability to attack the rim is just such an extremely important part of the NBA basketball game. And his eliteness at doing that thing, even though he might not ever be a high volume scorer, I think is going to lead to him to be an extremely efficient player. So I have him graded as a 3-5 draft pick now. I do view him as a top 5 pick level draft pick. Right now, he is the third ranked guy in my big board. So it's Sar, Collier, Cody Williams. I don't think there's anybody that you can comp him to, because I don't think we've ever seen such a well-rounded guy that's just extremely good at standstill three-point shots, extremely good at driving to the rim, very good passer, very good defender, but just not have like a lot of shot creation ability. He's really one of one. He's one of one. I could definitely see him averaging like 20-4 in the future, 20-5 maybe in the NBA. And I definitely view him as extremely high floor NBA.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A draft prospect, and he's bust proof. I could not see him busting. I don't see him busting at all. And if a team had the number one pick and they had a great center and a great point guard, I would approve of him being drafted number one as well. So yeah, Cody Williams, really good player, had a really good game. And he's grown throughout this year and become more assertive driving to the rim as well. It's really nice to watch. And yeah, I have him ranked number 3 on my big board, and he's not moving. All right, let's go ahead and kick it to the next player in that breakdown is Tristan Da Silva. 6'9", averaging 15.7 points per game, 5.4 rebounds, 47% field goal percentage, 83% free throw percentage, and 36% three-point percentage. So yeah, Tristan Da Silva is still a really good off-ball mover. He definitely is a very good standstill three-point shooter as well. 36% with the 6'9 link is really nice. He's a pretty average mover defensively. So, you know, he's not an amazing defender, but he definitely can get the job done defensively. So right now I still have him graded as a 26 through 30 draft pick in the NBA draft. I still have him ranked as the 31st guy on my big board. Really interesting guy. I had a lot of fun watching him play. And, you know, Tristan Da Silva has been a really good watch throughout this year. And he's definitely the quintessential role player coming out of college. All right, let's go ahead and kick it to the next breakdown, which is going to be Kansas versus Iowa State. So in the Kansas game, we got Johnny Furnfy, Kevin McCullough, Hunter Dickinson, Vilan Fotovich. Let's go ahead and break it down. Johnny Furnfy first. So Johnny Furnfy is a 6'9" player for Kansas, averaging 9.2 points per game, 51% field goal percentage, 37% three-point percentage. So this is a guy that's 6'9". You know, the first thing that you notice is even though he is moves well on the college level, he definitely looks like at best average NBA athlete, which defensively is going to be a little bit of a question mark. I saw him as a standstill three-point shooter, and there's some extremely rare flashes of him attacking the rim, but it looks very raw and unpolished. So he kind of just looks like a standstill guy. 6'9", not an overwhelmingly good defender, so I have him graded as a 31 to 35 draft pick, a high-level second-round guy, ranked 38th on my big board right now. Really interesting, but right now I have him 38. But let's go ahead and kick it to Kevin McCullough. So Kevin McCullough is averaging 19 points per game, 4.4 assists, 1.5 steals, 46% field goal percentage, and 35% three-point percentage. He's 6'6". So Kevin McCullough is definitely somebody that moves really well off-ball screens. Kansas is really great at moving, having their guards and their three-point shooters moving off-ball screens, and he does that as well. He's a good defender. I call him an above-average athlete. He does have the potential to be a 3-and-D 2-guard because 6'6", 2-guard is really great length. That's great length for the 2-guard position. He can attack the rim well, which I really do like. I feel like it definitely adds a unique wrinkle to his game that he would bring to the NBA level. So right now I have him graded as a 22 through 26 draft pick. I do see him as the ability to be a 3-and-D role player in the NBA that could be a really solid one. So right now I have Kevin McCullough, 29th on my big board right now. Right now is where he ranked. All right, let's go ahead and kick it to Hunter Dickinson. Hunter Dickinson is averaging 18.3 points per game, 10 rebounds, 2.2 assists, 1.2 blocks, 55% field goal percentage, 64% free throw percentage, and 33% three-point percentage. So Hunter Dickinson is somebody that is very good in the post. You call him a below average NBA athlete. Defends the rim decently well, but nothing overly impressive there. His three-point percentage is really nice. 33% is definitely something to be a selling point for NBA teams. That's pretty good for the center position, somebody that can space out. He's a good passer. He's good in the pick and roll situations, and he's a good rebounder. So right now I have him graded as a 31 through 35 draft pick. I could see him being a solid backup center in the NBA. Right now I have him graded at number 36 on my big board. And we'll go ahead and talk about Milan Momolivic. Tough last name, so sorry, from Iowa State. 6'8", he's averaging 11.5 points per game, 37%, 3-point percentage, 43% field goal percentage. So this guy's really smooth, but he's a below average NBA athlete at probably at best. You know, he has some flashes of shot creation, but it looks really raw right now. There is a little bit of Bogdan Bogdanović in this game, but it's really raw right now. I definitely feel like he should go back to college. I don't have him as an NBA draft grade. If I had to make like a 60 through 90 grade on him, sure. I definitely could see that undrafted, but still, you know, maybe get us invited to a summer league team if he came out this year. But yeah, Milan Milosevic is an interesting player, got an interesting game, but it's very, very slow right now. But it has some intrigue and long-term potential. I think he should come back to college and see how good he can be. All right, let's go ahead and kick it to that next game, which is going to be UConn versus Providence. So in that game, we got Stephon Castle, Donovan Klingon, and Devin Carter. So Stephon Castle, well, he's 6'6", point guard, averaging 10.9 points per game, 3 assists, 1 steal, 46% field goal percentage, 73% free throw percentage, and 30% three-point percentage. So in this game, man, against Devin Carter, this guy put on a defensive performance. I've said multiple times on multiple podcasts talking about Stephon Castle, I keep on bringing up the name Lonzo Ball defensively, because Lonzo Ball was one heck of an on-ball defender in the NBA. And Stephon Castle gave Devin Carter, who's an NBA prospect, two guard issues. I mean, the last time we watched him play, and he's playing Tyler Kokek, who's a 6'3 point guard from Marquette, who's very, very good, NBA draft prospect, guy that's going to get drafted, and he shut him down too. So, I mean, he puts straps on people in a very special way defensively. He is a very, very, very elite on-ball defender. I cannot understate how good he is at it. He keeps on showing flashes of his ability to make really good passes. This is probably the greatest scoring game that I've ever watched him play. And he showed some new things in this game that I'd never seen him do before. There were some nice floaters at the rim, kind of like a touch shot near the rim instead of finishing at the rim. Yeah, but he had some really nice finishes at the rim. He still has an abysmal mid-range shot. It's absolutely terrible. 30% percentage is pretty poor. He doesn't have like a ton of shot creation. The tough thing for him about gauging his ability to be a pick and roll operator, which most point guards need to do, is Tristan Newton's the best, maybe the best college basketball player on that team. So, you know, and he's a 6'5 point guard for them that scores, averages 15 a game and 5.9 assists, and they're trying to win an NCAA championship, and they have a great college basketball team, and I think won Player of the Year last year, or March Madness Player of the Year. Tristan Newton's the real deal of this college point guard. So he just doesn't get like a ton of volume in the shot creating and the pick and roll aspects, but he just looks so smooth and he makes such good passes. Even though his mid-range shot is extremely raw, there's a lot of things to like about him. The three-point shots come a long way. It used to be like 24-23%. So right now I have him graded as a 14 through 18 draft pick. He is the 15th guy ranked on my big board. Really fun to watch. It's just so much fun. And yeah, Fawn Castle is the real deal. All right, let's go ahead and click it to Donovan Klingon. Donovan Klingon, 7'2", averaging 12.3 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, 2.1 blocks, 64% field goal percentage, 20% three-point percentage. So yeah, Donovan Klingon still looks like a defensive unicorn. I mean, his ability to defend the rim, his strength, body frame, like I've talked about before, the comparisons to Roy Hibbert, I feel very confident in that. His ability to defend the rim, defend three-point shooters, to defend the pick and roll, defend the guards in the pick and roll, contest shots. I mean, he contests everything. Anything and everything. He's special. His defense ability is special. Again, like I've said multiple times before, he is not a block chaser. He's a world-class shot in contester. That's the best way to explain it. And Roy Hibbert, who was world-class at guarding LeBron James, probably the greatest center to guard LeBron James, other than maybe Dwight Howard, like it's him and Dwight Howard. Roy Hibbert was one heck of a defender against guys that would attack the rim, and because he wouldn't send you to the free-throw line, chasing blocks, right? Guys like Willie Cauley-Stein and DeAndre Jordan, you could get to the free throw line pretty easy and try to get them to foul out pretty easy because they were chasing blocks, right? Donovan McLean is not like that. He is a defensive rim protecting purist, and I love that about him. He's still ranked as the 10th or 12th draft pick. I still have him ranked 12th, and I definitely feel like he is an elite rim defender. Man, is he good at it. Man, Donovan McLean has really got it. All right, let's go ahead and break down Devin Carter. 6'4", from Providence. Actually, 6'3", averaging 19.3 points per game, 3.6 assists, 8.2 rebounds, 47% field goal percentage, 40% three-point percentage. So he's a really interesting basketball player. He had some deep three-point shots that he tried to make, and, you know, he's very quick and fast. I definitely feel like there's a few flaws in his game where he's somebody that can shot great, but, you know, I feel like it's the fact that we got to watch him play against Stephon Castle was extremely tough for him, because I'm sure if I would have watched him play any other game throughout the season, his normal college competition wouldn't have been as glaring, that his game may not be super translatable scoring wise to the NBA as everybody's thinking it'll be. Most people that have him ranked in the 20s think he'll be. What I mean by that is his shot creation, the footwork of it, the quality of the shot creation, it's just not overwhelming. He drives to the rim a lot, tries to draw fouls. He should be taken advantage of. Stephon Castle made him take extremely tough shots. And in that game, it was so bad that, like, he scored like 20 points, but for, I'd say Stephon Castle guarded him like 32 minutes out of the 36 minutes that he probably played in that game. And Stephon Castle held him to like 4 points. Whenever Stephon Castle wasn't guarding him, it was, you know, but Stephon Castle guarded him the whole game while he was on him, unless they got some sort of switch on a situation where he'd attack people like Tristan Newton, something like that. And man, it's just, he shut him down. He rattled him. He made him take tough shots. I mean, Stephon Castle is what it's going to be like in the NBA. And I do think that his 6'3 size, lack of really elite footwork or shot creation, high quality of it, the lack of it, I do think is where I'm getting at, that the idea of him being, his shot creation developing, translating to the NBA is not something that I believe in. I could see him maybe being a backup guard. I have him graded in the 40 through 45 draft pick. Right now, he's on the 43rd pick on my big board. Interesting guy, but, you know, Stephon Castle shut him down, man. It made it so tough. So, yeah, Devin Carter, really interesting guy. All right, let's go ahead and kick it to the last game, which is Duke versus Miami. And let's go ahead and break down the main guy of that game, the main guy of Duke, Kyle Filipowski. He is 7 foot tall, averaging 16.6 points per game, 2.9 assists, 1.6 blocks, 50% field goal percentage, 34% three-point percentage. So Kyle Filipowski has got really great post footwork. His ability to handle is really interesting. You know, his ability to make really great passes, man, is he a good passer? His defense has improved so much from last year to this year. There's a lot of Alperen Sengun in his game, where Alperen Sengun, just like him, is not an overwhelmingly good NBA athlete. Probably at best average NBA athletes, but extremely good skill, extremely great footwork. They both have really great spin moves. They both have a really good handle. Alperen Sengun's three-point shot is coming along a little bit. Very similar with a really great passing and the ability to be a hub of offense and be very efficient. And Kyle Filipowski can be that. Right, he's not as strong as Sengun, doesn't have as big of a body frame, but he's 2 inches taller. So, you know, those two things kind of even out. So, Kyle Filipowski to me still is a 6'3"-8 draft pick. I still have him as the 5th guy ranked on my big board. I believe in him long term, and this is upside and what I really feel like Kyle Filipowski can be. And yeah, he's still staying where he is. Again, I'll go ahead and talk about Jared McCain real quick. I know Jared McCain has grown throughout this year. Right now, he's averaging 13.6 points per game, 46% field goal percentage, 85% free throw percentage, and 41% three-point percentage. I still think he's 6'2", and 6'2", two guards just don't exist in the NBA. All right, Let's get that over with. Let's go ahead and move on to Tyrese Proctor, 6'5", averaging 10 points per game, 3.7 assists, 44% field goal percentage, 35% three-point percentage. Like always, Tyrese Proctor is a very good on-ball defender, average NBA passer. He's a waste of gifts, especially attacking the rim. He just doesn't do it enough. You always walk away from a game wishing and hoping that he'll do it, but he just never really does it consistently. Because he's 6'5", and his gifts are so elite, even though he doesn't do it consistently, I still have him graded 18 through 20 draft pick, and I still have him graded as number 21st guy on my big board. I feel like he's definitely in those grouping as a high upside guy that could have some bust potential as well. Let's go ahead and kick it to Miami. Miami has Wuga Popular and Keyshawn George. So let's talk about Keyshawn George first. He's 6'8", averaging 7.8 points per game off of 42% field goal percentage and 41% three-point percentage. So, you know, he has some flashes of shot creation, good length. He has a smooth mover, has some pretty nice footwork. You know, in this game, he was guarded by Tyrese Proctor a decent amount, and Tyrese Proctor gave him issues. And it looked like he had issues really getting his shot off. You know, he played in the starting lineup, which is, you know, usually he's been coming off the bench. And I do think that starting level players, starting level athletes really gave him more issues. He's an average athlete in the NBA, really smooth, has some shot creation upside long term, but there's also a really good chance that it never really translates, and he's a guy that's out of the NBA in 4 to 5 years. So I have him graded as a 20 through 22 draft pick in the NBA draft. I have him ranked as 25th guy on my big board. And then let's go ahead and kick it to Wuga Popular, 6'5" shooting guard, averaging 13.7 points per game off of one steal, 44% field goal percentage, and 41% three-point percentage. So this guy's got a really good standstill three-point shot. Every once in a while, you see him flash some shot creation, but it's extremely rare. He does come off ball screens. You know, he has a thinner frame, but he's still an above-average defender because he's a very good athlete. You know, you wish that he would translate those athletic gifts to driving to the rim, but he just doesn't do it consistently. Doesn't seem like he has a good feel for it. So right now I have him graded as a 31 through 35 draft pick and 34th guy rated on my big board. I could see him being somebody that comes off the bench in the NBA for a while. So that's why I still have him in a high second round draft pick range. All right, so this is going to be the end of the podcast. Next week, I have a lot of moving possibilities for those games next week, so I don't have anything confirmed yet, but, you know, it's going to be March 9th is when the next podcast is going to be recorded, and that's basically the end of the college basketball season, and that's going to be really great to watch and break down, and, you know, I have the link that's tagged on every podcast on my TikTok and YouTube where I'd have the big boards and the mock drafts all written down. It's going to be really great. I'm going to update that mock draft actually on the 9th after I get the final full season results of stats and get to move people up and down the big board based on how those stats look. And I also will be doing a March Madness breakdown for you guys whenever those March Madness tournaments come out. Within a few days, I will release my breakdown because I'm sure everybody else is gonna want to break that down. So it's really fun, this NBA draft stuff. I really enjoy doing, and I definitely will be excited to continue to break down this great draft prospect for you guys. Thanks for listening to the Pick and Roll Basketball Podcast, and everybody have a great week.